But I want to show you something that's pretty fascinating, I think, here in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse... I'll find my place here. Verse 46. Here we go. And just remind you, the Bible says, and I'll read the whole passage in a minute, but in verse 46, they came to Jericho. And then I want to point out to you chapter 11. If you look at verse 1, it says, "And when they came to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage, unto Bethany." So between the end of chapter 10 and the beginning of chapter 11, there is a journey that they have taken from Jericho. And if you travel from Jericho to Jerusalem, as you leave Jericho, you look out and you see to your west, you see a row of what would be mountains, kind of like the, not quite as big as the White Tanks out here, but they're pretty good sized hills. And you go up, 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 and Jerusalem, the Bible always talks about going up to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is a high place in Israel. But right before you get to Jerusalem, you come to Bethany and Bethpage. It's right there just before you go down the hill into that last little journey before you come to Jerusalem. So at the end of chapter 10, what we see here is this is the very last person who is being healed before the Lord Jesus Christ goes up to Jerusalem for the last week before the crucifixion. And the man that's being healed is named here in chapter 46. His name is Bartimaeus, and you've probably heard of him, blind Bartimaeus. Well, folks, Bartimaeus is not blind anymore. And what would it be like to be the last one that Jesus healed? Aren't you glad Jesus had time for one more? Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, and we'll read chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight we come before you as a local church, and Lord, we just lift up our request to you in unison that we pray that you'd bless this time in the Word of God. Lord, as always, we know that without you we can do nothing. But Lord, we pray that your Word would go forth with power. And I ask that you'd give me wisdom, clarity of thought, and clarity of speech tonight, that I could present the Word of God in a way that would be useful to the Holy Spirit so that he can speak to your people. Lord, tonight you know our needs even before we ask, and I pray you'd meet those needs. And Lord, tonight we look to you for the same kind of sight that Bartimaeus sought, not just a physical sight, but a spiritual sight, being able to see your will and to see you so that we can follow you clearly. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us that kind of vision tonight, make it very clear and plain to us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever known a blind person before? Ever known somebody who was blind? Okay, quite a few. There was a man in our church in Texas. We were in Texas for a couple of years, and up in North Texas, up north of Dallas. And I wish I could remember his name, but I remember his face real well. And he was blind. He had been blind since he was a little boy. And he taught me a lot of things about being blind. I used to go out visiting with him. We'd go out we went soul winning in Texas on Monday nights, and he and I would go out together, and he just explained all sorts of things to me about what it was like to be blind. And one of the things he taught me is how blind people think of sight Blind people don't think of themselves as being inferior to you and I. They just think as if you and I have a gift that they don't have. So in other words, they think about sight as a gift that God gave some and not others. And so you have the advantage of being able to see, but they have some advantages you don't have. And some amazing things. We were walking along one night. We had just finished visiting a family, or they weren't home. I can't recall which. But anyway, we were walking back towards the car, and the blind fellow said to me, he said, "Stop." And I said, "Okay." And we stopped, and he said, "Can you hear the car?" "No." You know, so I know cars will pop and such, but it wasn't doing that. It was quiet. He said, "If you listen carefully, you can hear that car." I said, "No, I can't hear the car." And he said, "Every time I talk, I can hear my voice bounce off of that car, and I can tell you just about exactly where it is." And he had learned how to see things without seeing them. One day, he was telling us a story in Sunday school, to our Sunday school class, about how they had a flood in their house. Now, you can imagine, he and his wife were both blind, and they lived in a basement apartment, and the water began to come in. And he described how they took blocks of wood and put them under the furniture to raise it up so the water wouldn't get to their furniture. And I thought, I'd be frustrated doing that with my vision, and he was able to do it when he was blind. Somebody asked him, they said, "How do you remember where things are in your apartment? How do you can't see, how do you know where things are?" And he said, "After you've bumped your head on a cabinet a couple of times, you remember right where it is." And he was not the least bit bitter about being blind. He was a great soul winner. I've told you this story about how he walked up to a police car one day. He didn't know it was a police car, just knew it was a car. And just walked up to a car in a parking lot and began to talk to the occupant of the car. And he heard the police radio. And then he said to the policeman, he said, "Do you know what the most efficient form of communication in the world is?" And the policeman said, "No." And he said, "Well, you think about that radio there." I said, "I know something that's better than that. It's better than telephone. It's better than a cell phone. It's better than a television. It's better than a newspaper." He said, "The most efficient form of communication is prayer. You haven't got to have a power source. You haven't got to have batteries. It works all the time. And God always hears you perfectly clear." Amen? And he witnessed to that fellow. He'd hand out tracts all the time. So don't think poorly about blind people, but I'm sure you and I can understand what it would be like to be blind. It would be very difficult. And it would be a burden. And this fellow was experiencing that burden. In fact, he was in a situation, as you can see in verse 46. This man was a beggar. He sat by the highway side begging, and that's because he could not obtain employment to support himself. He depended upon the compassion of others. And as you can see later in this passage, sometimes others didn't have much compassion on him. I would like to think that you and I, as born-again Christians, have compassion on others. Amen? We care about what they think, that we care about how they feel, that we act in a way that would try to preserve those feelings if we could and help them if we could. And I know some of you have got great compassion, and I commend you for that. But this man, he depended upon the compassion of other people. He sat by the highway side begging. So this is the very last recorded healing before the Lord travels up to Jerusalem in chapter 11 and before he's crucified. It may be, to the best of my knowledge, I can't tell you that I know why it wouldn't be the very last one ever. Because we know that there's no record of anybody being healed after he resurrected from the dead. So there was, in the Lord's agenda, there was enough time to save one more. Amen? Hope we have that kind of time in our agenda to reach out to one more, not to run out of time or not to stop caring. And out of all the many people that the Lord saved, one more, a blind man, was delivered and given his sight. Now, I mentioned compassion. Look at verse 48. As the blind man was crying out, there were some that found him to be a burden. And they said in verse 48, the Bible says, many charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, you're bothering us. You're disturbing the assembly. You're making people uncomfortable. Why don't you just be quiet? But this fellow cared more about the Lord Jesus Christ hearing him than he cared about offending people. That's the way we ought to be as well. There will be some that will be offended when you call out to God, but that's okay. God won't be offended. So there was a lack of compassion there. They told him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. And so we look at the steps here. I'll just show you the six steps in this man's life from blindness to sight and beyond. And we'll start in verse 47 with step one. And the very first step is this. Bartimaeus heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Aren't you glad somebody said something and we found out about Christ?
Amen.
Some of us might remember who that was. Some of us might not. I couldn't tell you the name of the first person that told me about Jesus, but I can tell you this. When I was growing up in Sunday school, there were teachers that told me about Jesus. There was a pastor that preached about Jesus every Sunday. My parents taught me about Jesus. And I even had some friends that went to church. And I'm sure we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ. But somebody somewhere cared enough to tell you and I about the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes. Amen? If there hadn't been a step one of him hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been no other steps. And by the way, just to remember, this man is blind. Now, the nature of a person who is blind is they have a limited ability to perceive things. They can't see what other people can see, so they need a different form of communication. In this case, the man heard. And there are folks like that out there today. There are people that are spiritually blind. And you and I can see plainly that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, but they can't see that. They don't have that discernment within them, although I do know that the Bible plainly says that when the Lord Jesus Christ promised, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So they have perhaps a knowledge of some kind of a need, but until someone gives them that information, that message, the gospel, they're limited. There's nothing else that they can do except understand that they have that need. And folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this case, somebody told the man about Jesus. Somebody said something. How many folks have we said something to? How many this week? Have we lived our life in a way, perhaps, that would give us opportunities to speak to people? Have you handed a tract out this week, for example? How many people have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ from us? And you know what's an interesting thing? God knows the answer to that question. How many people have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ from you or from me? You talk about the hairs of your head being numbered. God knows all things, amen? Somewhere, I know God doesn't use computers, praise the Lord. And I know God uses books, by the way. He uses books. By the way, I was kind of questioning the doctrine of that song, brother, because the Bible says that God blots names out of his book. It doesn't say that he records them. So we can discuss that another time. But in any case, the Lord uses books, but I don't think he's got a book for that particular question. I think in his infinite knowledge, if you were to ask him, he could tell you, here are exactly how many people you have told about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder how big that number would be. Hope it's a big number, amen? Because that would certainly bring glory to the Lord, and maybe some more folks would get saved. How many have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ from us? Step one, before anything else could happen, somebody had to say something about Jesus, and he had to hear about it. He heard, it says, that it was Jesus of Nazareth in verse 47. And then there's a step two, and he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, there's two or three things I see there. He believed Jesus could help him. I believe Jesus can help us, amen? And I don't believe Jesus ignores anybody. I think he deals with each of us individually, but Jesus can help. And it's frustrating, it's sad, it grieves our heart when we tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ and they won't cry out to him. Brother Tom, this morning, we had an interesting story. I'll tell part of that if I could. And that was that he left here a little early in Sunday school to go try to pick up a man that we had witnessed to and who prayed for the Lord to save him about 2 weeks ago. And I'd actually gone by his house this morning at about 9 o'clock and asked him if he'd come to church. And he was just getting up. In fact, his family just sent me into his bedroom. And so I'm standing at the door of his bedroom and he's waking up. And I hadn't been in that situation since bus ministry. I felt like I was back in the bus ministry again. And so he's laying there, and I said, hey, I said, Poyla, you want to go to church today? He's waking up, and he said, oh, I'm not ready yet. And I said, well, how about if we have somebody come by and pick you up at about 10 till 11? And he thought about it, and he thought about it, and he thought about it. And I said, well, if you want, we'd be glad to come by. And he said, okay. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. But Brother Tom went over there, and he got there and talked to the man. And was he still asleep? So maybe he was. I don't know. So Tom waited patiently, and to make a long story short, the young man said, "Not today." And so Brother Tom saw somebody out in the street working on their yard. And I had seen the same man working there when I drove by at 9 o'clock. And Brother Tom talked and stopped and just invited him out and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, the man said this. He said, "I used to be a devout Catholic. And do I need to tell the rest of that story?" You understand that he got discouraged by that. And now he thinks religion is just man's invention. And he's right. Religion is man's invention. But the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't depend on religion to save you. He saves you in spite of religion. Religion is man's attempt to impress God, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing God finds impressive in a way that would pay for our sins. So the man declined to accept the gospel today. But I can tell you this, he needs Jesus. And if he would call out, Jesus would save him. Amen? And that's what I see here, is this man, he cries out. And he believed Jesus could help him, or he wouldn't have cried out. He began to cry out and said, "Jesus, thou son of David." Now look what he says. "Have mercy on me." You know, the word mercy always ought to remind us. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. What we deserve is to be punished for our sins. How long does the mercy of the Lord endure? Forever. And the mercy of the Lord can be extended to anybody that would trust Christ as their Savior. And so this man, he says, "Have mercy on me." He knew he was a sinner. He knew what he needed, and he knew Jesus could provide what he needs. And now we just start climbing a little theological ladder because we know some things. The Bible says nobody can forgive sins except God, right? So there's a lot of understanding in this man that we see from his statement. And he's calling on the right one. He's calling in the right way for the right reason. And so as he calls out, the Bible says in verse 48, many charged him that he should hold his peace. "Don't do that," they said. "You're bothering us. Don't do that. This is not convenient. This is disturbing to us that you would call out." And you can picture the scene. There's a great crowd, and then over here to one side and perhaps lagging behind a little bit is Bartimaeus. And he is calling out so loud that he's disturbing those people that are near him. And they're saying, "Be quiet, be quiet." I kind of wish one of them would have said, "Here, let me help you. Amen? Let me help you. Let me bring you to the Lord." But instead of doing that, they called out for him to be quiet. And sadly, none of the people seem to have taken any note of that. And here's something I kind of like about this fellow. That didn't stop him. He wasn't worried about what people thought. "You're making a scene. You're calling out too loud, Bartimaeus. Why don't you just be quiet?" "No, no, no. I'm going to call out until Jesus hears me." It'd be a good philosophy of prayer, by the way, wouldn't it? To call out until he hears you. And so he didn't care what people thought. He simply knew he wanted Jesus to hear him. And then you almost shiver when you read the first four words in verse 49. "And Jesus stood still." Here's a thought. The cry of a suffering sinner is enough to stop the Lord Jesus Christ. Enough to get his attention. Jesus never has neglected any sinner that cried out to him. He said, "Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast them out." And then he promised you and I, he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And no matter what the hour, Jesus made that promise. So Jesus stood still. That's step three. Jesus heard the call. And I don't want you to misunderstand. Jesus knew that man was going to call before the foundation of the earth. There's no question about that. And Jesus knew that man was going to call before he ever said a word. And Jesus knew that man was calling when he said the first word. But somehow, he let the man call for a little bit before he answered him. I don't think there was any question that Jesus was going to respond to him. But for whatever reason, maybe to teach the crowd something, or maybe for whatever reason, he let the man call for a bit. And then finally, he heard that call. He stood still, and the cry of suffering caused him to stop in his tracks. And folks, I believe today that the cry of the suffering soul still causes Jesus to stop and listen. Amen? He knows our needs. He knows our longings, and he loves us. And so Jesus stood still. And then the Bible says, listen to this, he commanded him to be called. Now, let's get this picture straight. Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus cannot navigate from where he is to where Jesus is. I guess he could follow his voice or whatever, but Jesus sends somebody to go and bring Bartimaeus to Jesus. Can we be that someone? Does Jesus send us to go and to bring folks to him? They're blind. They're not going to know how to get there any other way. I'm thinking of some verses here. For example, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we need to go tell them about that, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also need to lead people to him. And sometimes we use that phrase and we call it soul winning, but here's what it means. Here's a lost sinner that knows they need Jesus, and now we bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, using the Word of God, showing them what Jesus did for them and how they can ask him to save them. Again, there's the second time that the servants of the Lord are involved in this process. The first one was because he heard about Jesus, and now he's being led to Jesus by those servants. Were it not for the servants, there would not have been the leading that was necessary. So Jesus sent his servants to the man in verse 49, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. You know, I kind of like that phrase there at the end of that verse, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. In other words, Jesus knows about you, it's going to be all right. Folks, there's not a sinner that was ever born that Jesus can't save. I knew a man in Salt Lake City, and his wife was the daughter of a family in our church. This guy's name was Calvin, was his name. And Calvin worked at the same place that I worked at that time as a computer programmer. And so I was programming, and Calvin was learning how to program. And I'd witnessed to him, and his mother-in-law had witnessed to him. And I talked to his mother-in-law. Her name was Donna. And I asked her, I said, why won't he get saved? And she said this. She said, he told me that he believes he's such a rotten sinner, it's not fair for Jesus to have to pay for his sin. And he's right. But folks, Jesus wants to pay for his sins. In fact, Jesus paid for his sins. He needs to receive Jesus Christ as that free gift of eternal life. And I'm sorry to tell you that to this day, I don't think Calvin has ever been saved. So here's a man that is blind, and he's heard the message, but he won't extend the call to the Lord to save him. That Bartimaeus, he didn't have that problem. And so the servants were sent, and the Lord Jesus Christ did extend comfort to him and call him. And now look at verse 50, and we'll look at the fourth step. First of all, step one, somebody said something. Bartimaeus heard about Jesus. Secondly, Bartimaeus cried out. Third, Jesus heard the call. And now look at verse 50. This ought to get your attention. Now let me just, before I tell you what I'm going to say, let me ask you, see if you can figure it out. It says, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you were blind, you can't see a thing, and you're on the side of the road, would you just throw your things anywhere? I wouldn't, because I'd wonder if I'll ever find it again. I think you can see a commitment here. I think this man believed Jesus was going to do something for him. I think when he cast that garment away, he wasn't worried about that garment. He wasn't going to let that garment stop him from getting to Jesus. He wasn't worried about finding it later because perhaps he knew that Jesus would restore his sight. But either way, this man was willing to do what would have been for him an irreversible thing, and make a commitment that could not be taken back. Just sort of like when that woman left her water pot in John chapter 4 and went into the city. Her purpose changed. In Bartimaeus' case, when he cast the garment away, he's committed now. He believes something is going to happen, I think. I think that's why he did it. He wasn't worried about the garment. He made a commitment. And folks, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there ought to be a commitment. In fact, let me use the right word. We ought to be repentance. Amen? There ought to be a turning from sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes people would like to say, I would like to not go to hell, but I still want to be, I want to indulge in my sins. That's not the way you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to Jesus, what you say is, I want Him instead of my sin. I want Him to change my life. Now, once you get saved, then that becomes very real to you, because I can tell you personally, to this day, when sin tempts me, I think to myself, I hate that sin. I don't want that sin in my life. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver me from that. But in Bartimaeus' case, he makes that commitment, just like you and I, when we got saved, should have made a commitment. I want what the Lord Jesus Christ has, not what the world has. And if it's going to cost me what the world has in order to have the Lord Jesus Christ, that's okay. I turn from that to the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying you're saved by works, amen? But there ought to be a turning, a commitment, a decision made. He cast away his garment. It's a statement of faith of a sort that he knows that something's going to have to happen or he'll never see that garment again. And then the last two steps are really a blessing. Step five, Jesus answered the blind man's call and healed him. Look at verse 51. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, I don't think anybody here would question what the man wanted, and I don't think anybody there in the audience would have questioned what the man wanted. But the Bible says it this way, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There was a need for him to express that call. And so he says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Can you imagine how precious that request must have been to him? Can you imagine how many times Bartimaeus had suffered because of his blindness? How many things he had gone without? How many joys of life he had missed? Sounds to me like he's not got a wife or a family. It sounds to me like he doesn't have employment. It sounds to me like he's totally dependent upon the kindness of the people that pass by him. And he's lived this way and lived this way and lived this way. And he knows something. If Jesus would give me my sight, it would change my life. You know, folks, when Jesus gave us our sight, it changed our life. Amen? It gave us life. We didn't really have life. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. And when the Lord Jesus Christ gave us our forgiveness, when he gave us our eternal life, he changed everything. Now we have a home in heaven and we have a destiny and we have a purpose. And it all comes together when Jesus does what we ask him to do. The man says that I might receive my sight. And there is that request. And then the Bible says in verse 52, and Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That almost seems like there should be more there. I mean, I know it's God's word and it's perfect, but what an amazing moment. Just like that, the man's healed. Just like that, the sight is restored. Someone says, well, you know, it seems like he should have had to go to a doctor for a while or something, or he should have had to do something to get his sight restored. He should have had to work for it or whatever. No, all you got to do is have Jesus give you that gift, and you got it. As miraculous as it is, and just like we received our eternal life. And I don't think he just received spiritual or physical sight, by the way. I think there's a forgiveness of sins involved, and I'll show you why in just a minute. But it says, Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Little word there, faith. It's an awful big word, isn't it? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says, the trying of our faith is more precious than of gold and silver. So many other things the Bible says about that little word, faith. And folks, I'll tell you this, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most precious possession you have is your faith. What did Peter go through. Jesus said this to Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he can sift you like wheat. But I have prayed that your faith fail not. I've never actually seen people do it except in pictures, but it doesn't sound like an awful pleasant experience to be one of those grains of wheat, and you're going up and down and up and down and banging into that net. And they had a basket, it's what they would use, and so they'd throw the wheat up in the air, and the wheat would fall back down, but the breeze would carry the chaff away. And the wheat would hit the basket again, and it would knock some more of that chaff loose, and they'd throw it back up in the air again, and the breeze would carry some of that chaff away, and the wheat would bang down on that basket again. And sometimes life feels that way to me. Like you just get beat up over and over and over again. But God's got a purpose. It drives away the chaff. And you know the end of the story. Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord restored him. And then less than a month later, he preached in Jerusalem and thousands of people received Christ. It was worth it, wasn't it? But Bartimaeus here, the Bible says, Jesus said to him, he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Folks, as hard as it may be, and sometimes it's awfully hard, we need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and looking for his will in our life. So he answered the blind man's call, and he healed him. Faith was the answer. And then, finally, we don't miss this last step. Bartimaeus heard. Bartimaeus cried out. Jesus heard. Bartimaeus made the commitment. Jesus healed him, answered and healed him. And then, finally, Bartimaeus followed the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, and he followed Jesus in the way. And now, that's interesting. Jesus is leaving Jericho. He's traveling west. He's going to go up the road to Jerusalem. He's going to be betrayed and crucified less than a week later. And Bartimaeus follows him. I don't know how far he went. The Bible doesn't say. I kind of like to think he went all the way. Amen? It wouldn't have been an easy road to take. Think about what Bartimaeus would have endured if he'd have gone all the way. First of all, he left Jericho. What does that mean? Anything familiar to him is whatever little home he had or wherever he used to sleep or his coat and all those kind of things, that's left behind. And he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes uphill and not an easy road to walk and tiring. And so Bartimaeus goes with him as the road gets hard. And then they come into Jerusalem, and of course, you know the story. The Lord Jesus Christ entered on what we call Palm Sunday, and the people praised him. And when folks are praising Jesus, it's easy to be a Christian, isn't it? When people are all around saying, oh, that's great. But then a few days later, they cried, crucify him. I have no way of knowing. It's pure speculation. It might not be worth even thinking about, but I wonder if Bartimaeus was in the crowd and what he was thinking. I know what I'd have been thinking. How can these people call out to crucify the one that gave me back my sight? Now who's blind? Bartimaeus can see, and he can see who Jesus is. And now it's that crowd that's blind saying, crucify him, crucify him. You say, well, they were just bad people. I know that, but Jesus said this. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He loved them too. There's a lot of blindness in the world today. There's a lot of people that don't understand what they're doing. A lot of people that can hurt folks and don't realize how they're doing that. There's a lot of people that have rejected Christ and don't realize the cost. And we see them all the time. We talk to them every day when we go door to door. We meet people that don't want to have anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ because of their blindness. But folks, the Lord loved them and died for their sins, didn't he? I hope we would be the kind of servants that Bartimaeus needed, those folks that would tell people about Jesus, those folks that would bring people to Jesus. And I hope we'd be like Bartimaeus and follow him in the way, no matter where he goes and no matter what it takes. And that can be very, very hard. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment. We won't be long. And we'll have a word of prayer.